Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Screen Talk Emmy Edition. I'm talking to Libby Hill, our great awards editor for television. And I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large. And we're going to be talking about the Emmys and predicting who's going to do really well in a couple of different categories, including limited series. And before we get there, though, Libby, you have been at the TCAs. You go from out of the frying pan of Comic-Con into the fire of the TCAs. Nonstop news.
Yeah, it's been real. And we're on day 8 of, I think, a 17-day TCA tour.
The food. Tell us, just set the scene for us, what it's like there.
It's really
interesting. Where are you exactly?
Well, for TCA, we are at the Beverly Hilton in Beverly Hills, sitting in an enormous ballroom where I believe the Golden Globes are held. I would have to check that.
But, if it's the Beverly Hilton, that would be it.
That's what I suspected. So in this exact same ballroom, networks and streamers and right now PBS brings in panelists for their upcoming television shows or their current television shows. And TV critics and journalists are able to ask questions. And I think the biggest function of the TCA now is getting talent in one place so journalists from all across the country, not necessarily just in LA, can come and get contact and gain material for a year's worth of stories about what ABC has coming up 4 months from now or what PBS is premiering over Christmas. So it's a unique opportunity for those of us who don't live in major metropolitan areas, but also it's quickly growing out of fashion.
So are you getting a glimpse of some of the shows that might be in contention next year when we come back around and we're talking about the 2020 Emmys?
I am. Now, I will say this. We have to take all this with a grain of salt because in a lot of cases, I've only seen one episode, sometimes two, and it's impossible to gauge how both the industry and critics will receive these shows. But I would say I have like a half dozen shows I've already seen a week into the tour that we could be talking, very well be talking about in a year.
So what would you say, maybe what would Amazon have on offer, for example?
Amazon, I feel, has maybe their strongest offering since Fleabag, definitely since Maisel, in Modern Love, which is an adaptation of that super famous New York Times column that's been running for like 15 years, where people, and that's no exaggeration, where people submit a love story, and whether romantic love or sexual love or platonic love, as a 1500 word essay. They have gotten the brilliant idea at Amazon to adapt that into a series, a true adaptation, a true anthology series, rather, like The Twilight Zone, wherein it has a united theme over a season, but every episode is a standalone story.
That sounds actually pretty cool. Who are some of the creative entities behind that? Anybody we've heard of?
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, John Carney is responsible for it. John Carney, you may be familiar with his film Sing Street, or Once.
Once. Once. Absolutely. Yes. Once is a big deal.
Yes.
So he is Sing Street. Is there a musical element?
There is not yet, at least.
That's interesting. No, he's a good director.
He's a great director.
And what else? So HBO has Watchmen. Yes. What did you get to see anything from that?
I have seen the first episode, and that is probably as much as I can tell you about that. But I will say that it is I went into it not knowing much about Watchmen lore. I was totally taken with it. I think that's a great comic book.
It's one of the great genius comic books. And Zach, of course, of DC fame,
yes.
did not do such a great job, according to some people, with the movie. Mm-hmm. I really loved the visuals in the movie, and if they can bring anything close to that to this, I will be very, very excited. It's a lot of great characters.
Right. Well, the best decision that they have made with this adaptation, I think, is not doing a literal lift from the comic. It is definitely something within that universe, but not necessarily the story that everyone is familiar with. They are finding their own story.
So where is Westworld in the overall scheme of things? Does it continue after this season, or is it ending?
It does. I believe it has at least one more season out. If I had to guess, I thought it got picked up for a season 4 as well at HBO, but I'm not entirely certain. No, but it is definitely renewed for a season 3. They haven't announced any plans beyond that at this point, but Westworld is expected to be a contender again next year. But the reason I think that Westworld plays well for Watchmen is that it's shown that the Academy is not against embracing something genre-y with those genre elements in it.
As long as it's really expensive.
Well, you know, Watchmen at least looks really expensive.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure they wouldn't. Now, what is AMC doing with the terror?
So AMC gained a lot of, and I don't think a lot of people know this, but their first season of The Terror didn't garner any attention from the Academy, which is ridiculous because the below the line, the production values on that were incredible.
It got rave reviews.
It did. It did. It was great. I loved the first season of The Terror.
So it's not a limited series anymore if it's coming back, right?
Right. It is playing by the new anthology series rules, the American Horror Story rules, if you will. It's coming back under the Terror as we know it, but it has a completely different setting. It's a completely different story. It's completely different characters. And this season is about the Japanese internment, the Japanese American internment camps during World War II.
Wow.
And they have melded it in a genius choice with J-horror. And it is incredible. And it is terrifying. And again, the production values are amazing. They've gone to great lengths to make sure that they are representing a world and a cast that is unimpeachable. And if it's going to break through with the Emmys, it will break through with this.
And what has Showtime got?
Showtime, gosh, I don't know what to say about this. I will tell you, Showtime has not even presented yet at TCA, but they have a show called On Becoming a God in Central Florida. It's a dark comedy, and it stars Kirsten Dunst. Now, everyone loves Kirsten Dunst, obviously, but the key of this to remember
most
is
most recently in Fargo.
But the thing to remember is that Showtime actually has a long and storied history of doing great in comedic lead actress. They had Nurse Jackie. They had United States of Tara. They had Weeds. They do well in this category when they have something to push. And so sight unseen, keep your eye on Central Florida, because that could be a contender.
Well, I don't think Kirsten Dunst would be doing it. I mean, if it wasn't probably pretty high up on the level of execution.
Absolutely.
I'm sure it's well written. And then you have another Amazon show in the animated world you think might be interesting to watch.
Let me tell you, it's entirely possible this will not get any nominations. It's entirely possible this won't be in the conversation, but it should be. Amazon has a 30-minute sort of animated dramedy. It is rotoscope animation, the kind of like in A Scanner Darkly. It's gorgeous. It's really leans into its visual storytelling, and it plays a lot with temporal things, with sort of multiple universes, multiple points of view. There's a very spiritual aspect to it. I don't know if this is going to make a splash anywhere, but it should. And people should talk about it. Oh, it
sounds wonderful. You've got me sold. Completely sold.
I love it.
And do any of the networks have anything going? They've been so underrepresented of late.
That's the testament to how strong this upcoming fall is that ABC has a sort of an action drama with Colby Smulders from How I Met Your Mother history. And the Avenger films, the Marvel films, rather,
yep.
Called Stumptown. She plays a sort of a gritty cop type character with a sense of humor, which is kind of perfect typecasting for her. And CBS has a comedy, a single cam comedy with Walton Goggins, of all people, as a widower who is trying to get back on the dating scene that I think looks terribly charming. These are things that could end up in comedy series, in drama series, depending on the year. It just depends. And I think that's more than we can say of a lot of shows and a lot of years in TCA prior.
So let's get in. Do you have anything else from the TCAs you want to tell me about, or should we go into limited series?
I think that's everything of note. I can't wait to talk about these limited series, though.
All right. Well, so we have this incredible. I always thought going in that Escape at Dannemora from Showtime was the obvious front runner. You know, that this is the one that just executed Ben Stiller's series, mm-hmm. executed at an incredibly high level on the writing with Michael Tolkien as one of the showrunners from the movie world, and with extraordinary performances from Benicio del Toro and Patricia Arquette and Paul Dano. And I just thought, you know, you can't beat this combination. And, you know, this thrilling, exciting prison break, true story, you know, everything executed at a high level. All but right. It has competition. Oh, it really does.
It does. This was a fierce year for a limited series. I had no idea that we would end up with such a strong batch of contenders. But yeah, Escape at Dannemora is definitely in the top three, but it might be edged out of the top two right now by some late-breaking contenders in the Emmy eligibility window. For instance,
Right, so Chernobyl would be the big one, right?
Well, from HBO, it's one of the big ones, definitely. I feel at this point that it might actually be losing heat and might be in the second spot right now.
Against what?
Against When They See Us.
That would be the Ava DuVernay series from Netflix, which has been highly promoted. She's very popular. It's an excellent series, but I'm going to argue with you on this one.
Please do.
They have indicated that it was very well watched.
Mm-hmm.
And my question, Netflix, they've actually released figures. And wow. I believe them. I'm sure it has been well watched. But the question is, by whom? And was it well watched by people in the Academy?
I think that it's difficult to look at all of the acting nominations and all of the overall nominations that When They See Us scored and think, you know, there wasn't great affection for it in the Academy. And there's definitely something to be said for Chernobyl, which I believe garnered the second most nominations. I think it had 19 nominations
19.
Overall. I think on HBO Day, they said that if Chernobyl was its own network, it would have gotten, I think, the eighth most nominations. So there is definitely an argument. I don't think this category is locked up whatsoever, but
no,
I think that it is.
I couldn't agree with you more. And there's going to be a lot of campaigning. I ended up sitting down with Craig Mazin, mm-hmm. who's the showrunner for Chernobyl. And I have to say, I was very impressed by that show. It kept me awake in the middle of the night, and I got obsessed with Chernobyl and with the podcast that he did after the show and on each episode. And I got crazy and ordered up midnight at Chernobyl. And and it has to do with, I think, we're all living in very tortured and fractious times. And we're actually contemplating the end of our planet. Not
That's
to
real.
Put too fine a point on it. And Chernobyl, in some bizarre way that these people figured out, they put their fingers on something that touches us very deeply, because it shows us the end, you know, of how crazy and stupid we can be.
Right.
What do you think?
I think that talking about Chernobyl's popularity in within the framing of you know, the heat death of the universe is probably wise, and I think there is a I think there is a sort of demoralized, fearful, but still hopeful part of us that are, that can watch Chernobyl and be like, oh, well, they messed it up. Maybe we won't mess it up as poorly. And I will say
well,
that
they were also heroic people.
Right. And I do think that at a certain level, oh, my God, I can't believe this is a sentence I'm going to say, but Chernobyl is more hopeful than when they see us, because we're still doing all of the things that when they see us is talking about. And that's demoralizing on a very deep level. It's important to talk about, it's important to watch, it's important to be aware of, but it does not give you that sense of hope for a brighter tomorrow, maybe, that Chernobyl kind of does, which is probably a sentence that no one has ever said before in human history.
I get it. I totally understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with you at all. So the two other shows, which I also admire and love, are Fosse Verdon from FX, about the great choreographer, director, and dancer Bob Fosse, and the long-term relationship with his creative muse, Gwen Verdon. And, of course, Sam Rockwell and Michelle Williams play those roles, and to perfection, I believe. I know we get into lots of debates about whether or not Sam Rockwell was good enough, but I think he was. But the movie, I believe, plays to a pretty narrow musical-loving demo. I'm not sure it has the wide admiration and appeal that the other shows have.
It doesn't. I think it is very niche. I think it is less niche than something that we saw show up more in the performances in limited series, which is The Act, which did not get any notice in the limited series categories beyond the performances in lead and supporting actress. But what's interesting about Fosse Verdon is it does have, if you'd call it lower ballot support. It did bring in a surprising amount of nominations, but I don't think it's enough to bump it up to that top tier of contenders.
And your argument about Sharp Objects is that too was long ago in the rear view, that even if, and I'm afraid Jean-Marc Vallée on some level has been cast in the role of a villain now with Big Little Lies. He really did a great job with Sharp Objects, and I think he's an excellent series director from the movie world, but that may have a negative impact on him, the idea that he took Big Little Lies 2 away from Andrea Arnold in the editing room.
But didn't that Andrea Arnold news come out after the...
Yes, but that doesn't make it look any better for him.
Right.
Being identified with this show.
That's absolutely correct. But here's what I'm really concerned about with Sharp Objects is that it got its support for Patricia Clarkson. It got its support for Amy Adams. It doesn't have any writing or directing noms.
Which is a sign of weakness. This is the point we're making.
Exactly. Yeah. So as much as I loved Sharp Objects, it just did not have the legs it needed to stay competitive in this year.
Well, let's just make it clear that to get into this category at all is a feat at this point. But let's look at movies now. I have argued, and I will continue to argue, that Black Mirror Bandersnatch, although a lot of people seem to think it's a great competitor in this category, really doesn't have the wide appeal to an adult viewership like the TV Academy. It got nominated, though, because it got a lot of attention, and it was interactive, and it was innovative and all that. But I didn't think it was one of the best episodes I'd ever seen.
Well, and here's something to keep in mind with that. I don't love Bandersnatch. I don't think it should win this category, but it makes me very nervous that the last two TV movie winners have been Black Mirror episodes. Someone in the Academy is voting for it. And while I would say definitively that both of those episodes that won, the USS Callister and San Junipero, were far and away better episodes. I can
so
never
what would
count
be
it
the
out.
Leading what would be the leading contender then if it's not this one?
It still feels like a two-horse race, and I know we've talked about this before, but I think it has to be Deadwood, though I'm not super confident in how much the Academy likes or does not like it, given that David Milch couldn't get it right, couldn't get a writing nomination, and
I know it doesn't look as strong as it should be, given the support that it should have. But I don't think it's My Dinner with Hervé, and I don't think it's King Lear, and I don't think it's Brexit. So, God forbid, are you saying it's going to be Bandersnatch?
I'm not. It's going to be Deadwood. I have every faith that it's going to be Deadwood. And you know what? If Deadwood wins, if you look at their executive producers, like, that awards a bunch of good people that I think that everyone's going to be on board with awarding. But I have to believe Deadwood wins this category because
I cannot
go forth.
And there's a human interest story there with David Milch and his dementia and all that stuff. It's a sad story. They gave him a chance to go out with his boots on, and he did. He really did.
Precisely.
All right. So we were looking at the limited series, and then we have writing and directing categories for the limited series. And I have to assume that Chernobyl is leading the field in both of those categories for Craig Mazin and Johan Renck, who is a very crucial element. He was the director hired by Craig Mazin, who was not an obvious choice, or, you know, he basically looked at what he could do and figured out that he was the one that could execute his vision. And boy, did he do that.
Right. Something I'm curious about is how, if you look at these nominees, for instance, in writing, you have Chernobyl, you have two episodes of Escape at Dannemora, you have A Fosse Verdon, you have an the entirety of A Very English Scandal, and then you have one episode of When They See Us. And I'm curious, do you think the Academy gives an edge to an artist who takes over the entire creative process, that Craig Mazin wrote every episode of Chernobyl, or that Johan Renck directed every episode? I don't know. Like, I don't know the answer to that. And I was trying to go back through the years, and I couldn't discern a pattern. But the limited series being such a strong category is a relatively new thing. So I just don't think there's a pattern there yet.
I would say the writer showrunner does have an advantage. So, but Brett, obviously they're all writer showrunners on some level, but some of them are shared.
Right.
And Ava is a director as well.
Right.
I wonder, I'm gonna give, see, and all right, so let me ask you this. Is Ben Stiller as a director docked for being Ben Stiller, or is that an advantage for him?
I don't think he's docked. I think it's an advantage for him. I think that he is committed so fully to this second act of his career that, and I think it's really hard to look at Escape at Dannemora and be like, yeah, this is a classic Ben Stiller production. Like, no, like, you lose who Ben Stiller is in watching that, and that's a compliment to him. So I don't think he's docked for that. I don't know. I'm looking at these categories, and there is just not a clear standout for me. I know Chernobyl is at the top of the heap, but I'm thinking about those. And this is, I guess, what I'm thinking about. When you have a single episode of a series you're putting forth, that is a very clear thing. Like, when I look at these Fosse Verdon episodes, for example, I know what Glory is. I know what Who's Got the Pain is. I know what Providence is. And I have a very clear picture of what that episode looked like. If I see Russell T. Davies and A Very English Scandal, I get that he did the entire series, and that's great, but I don't know. I'm very intellectually curious about these categories because I don't have a feel on them right now.
Well, one thing you can say about the writing nominees is that there's a bunch of white guys and one black woman, and that could give her an advantage, I think, especially with a show that, as you say, is so popular, When They See Us. So Ava DuVernay could have an advantage as a director as well.
Well,
I could see her winning one of those at least.
Yeah, it's a huge compliment to her that she is nominated in both categories, and I think is
that's an accomplishment. That's an extraordinary accomplishment. She should get that. I see what you're saying.
No, absolutely. So, like, that's extraordinary. And I think that is, the Academy loves an auteur, let's say. But then again, in directing, she's not the only woman or woman of color directed.
Jessica Yu is there for Fosse Verdon and Glory.
Yeah, which is great. And I hate that episode, too. But it's great.
You see, I'm... Yeah, see, I prefer the Thomas Kail episode.
I do too. It's a very difficult position to be in as a woman.
Thomas Kail, my man from Hamilton.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I got to give it to him. Well, this is going to be very interesting. Last year was nowhere near as competitive as this year, and there's going to be a lot more to parse when we come back next week. Now, we do have some news, which is that I'm going on vacation.
Yay!
And while I'm on the East Coast running around New York and Maine and other hot spots like that, hopefully not too hot, Ben Travers, our intrepid critic, is going to step in and share his considerable knowledge. And I think the two of you should have a wonderful time. You guys are going to get into the acting of the limited series.
Yeah, we're going to have some
and
fights.
Movies. He's a good sparring partner.
And he has bad opinions, so it makes the fighting even easier.
Yeah, you and I get along too much.
That's the problem.
We had a couple of arguments today.
We did well. I'm proud of us, Anne. I think we did a great job today.
All right. So I won't see you next week. No. I will get back with you in two.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining me, Anne.
Bye, Libby.
Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.